Welcome to Casteres. My name is Christian Corley, and this week I'm hosting solo, so I'm going to bring you up to date with a load of things that have happened recently in the world of cult television and related areas. Maybe some cinema, maybe some music, maybe some gaming as well. If you're interested in what's going on with Doctor Who at the moment, then our last podcast between myself and James McLean addresses the rumours concerning Nkuti Gatua and Russell T Davies and Disney and all of that stuff. We've also done a recent podcast about AI and its use for missing episodes and recreating lost material. I'm often, as you may notice on these podcasts, I'm very loath to use the word content, although increasingly I'm beginning to view material produced by AI as content. It's low grade, it is derivative by nature, and it doesn't really add anything substantial. It's repeated material, reinterpreted, recreated, information reorganized into new ways by AI based on prompts. So, you know, content does seem to be more appropriate for anything generated by AI. So let's say AI content, and for everything else, let's just say material, articles, movies, games, videos. That was an old TV show, wasn't it? Movies, games, and videos. Okay, let's go into the stuff that we've got planned for today. We've got a recap on what happened with Mega City Comics in Camden Town. We've got a look at some RPGs. We're revisiting the Box of Delights because some things have there've been some developments in the world of the Box of Delights, and a couple of other things as well. Bit of gaming, desktop gaming, of course. If you're interested in old-style retro gaming, of course, head over to gamingretro.co.uk, where you will find me telling the world about all the latest retro games, if you can make that make sense in your mind. Okay, so this is great news. I reported a few weeks ago that Mega City Comics in Camden Town was closing at the end of January. This is a comic store that's been in operation for decades and is a popular destination for the comic fans visiting London and, of course, comic fans resident in London and Greater London. However, it didn't completely close. In the event, Forbidden Planet took over the store. So it's now part of the Forbidden Planet chain, although it does have the Mega City Comics logo on the front of the store still as well. So that's great news. Now, no doubt it's going to become increasingly Forbidden Planet-esque over time. I've found Forbidden Planet is a bit of a strange beast. Some of it is very faithful to the old days of Forbidden Planet, and there are other branches that are very kind of polished and modern and look like a branch of game, but without the video games. So, you know, it remains to be seen how Mega City Comics will evolve into Forbidden Planet in Camden Town, but it's great news that the store is still there and it can continue to be a destination for comics fans. Now, I know it's not Christmas or even the run-up to Christmas, unless you're taking a very long run-up, that is. But there are some Box of Delights things to talk about, incredibly. First of all, back in December, an edition of the She Done It podcast on BBC Sounds focused on the Box of Delights. Now, this is still available to hear. It is set to be available for over a year. It was released initially on the 4th of December. Quick rundown. Caroline and Guy, the hosts, discussed The Box of Delights by John Masefield, a children's book from 1935 that might actually be a Golden Age detective novel too. Interesting take. They also considered the beloved 1984 adaptation, which, as we know, was rescreened in December, to be the first to know about future... Oh, yeah, you don't need that bit. So that's an interesting take on The Box of Delights. I haven't had a chance to check this out yet, but it was... it was recommended in the Box of Delights Facebook group, the Box of Delights Appreciation Society, which every Box of Delights fan should join. So I would recommend that you check that out. Now, that's not the only Box of Delights. I know, it's incredible, isn't it? It's February and we've got more Box of Delights news. The Box of Delights role-playing game is now available to buy from drivethruhrpg.com. This is by Jonathan Green, who states that print copies are now available, as well as digital copies. It's 159 pages. It uses the Other Unique Systems rule system. And if the adventures of Kay Harker, keeping the box out of the hands of Abner Brown, if that's a world that you want to get involved with, then it's available. It's available now. These are in dollars. I'm not sure if there's a UK price listed anywhere. The PDF version's $18.98 in dollars. There's a soft cover for $37.96 and a hardcover version for $50.61. These will translate into UK prices, of course, when you put your payment method through. So this is really interesting to see, and I actually quite fancy this myself. The link to that and everything else that we discuss in this week's podcast, you will of course find in the show notes. Now, it is customary at this point of the proceedings for me to mention our Patreon. You can find it at patreon.com/Casterbras. You'll also find a link to it in the show notes. And I really, really infuse its importance to Casterbras moving forward and to the podcast. It's really important as the internet kind of splinters into different groups and websites have become less prominent, that having a base on Patreon is really, really important. Now, many users of Patreon will work on various projects and ask for support, financial support from their fans, listeners, etc. Our Patreon is free. There is a paid tier, which you may use to support us further, and that comes with some tangible benefits, but the podcast is free on Patreon, which means you get it ad free. You don't get any of the Spotify or Apple podcast ads. You get the full length version, often when James and myself, or myself and James and a guest, are chatting. What you get on Spotify and Apple podcast is a truncated version, and importantly, you get it early. Now, this is something that I wanted to talk about, because we're at the stage now where in order to keep things regular and to have a regular release date, the Patreon version comes out maybe Thursday, and the Spotify version and Apple Podcasts and wherever else you get your podcasts, that version comes out midweek the following week. Now, the reason for this is that we've traditionally always gone for a midweek release, but it's come to the point where there's now sort of 5 days on average between the Patreon version and the public version. So if you want our podcast is as topical as it can be, given the constraints of recording two people in different parts of the country and the editing requirements. So there's usually maybe a day between recording and release at best. Sometimes it's been even less than that, but usually it's a day. So what you're getting on Apple Podcasts and Spotify is a week old in some cases. And we don't really want you to get it a week later. We want you to get it on the day. So doing the Patreon thing will ensure you get it on the day. So there's a RSS feed on Patreon, so you can add it into your podcast player, or you can just play it through the Patreon app on your phone as well. All those things work. So head to patreon.com/Casterbras. Sign up free. You can listen to it on your PC through the browser if you wanted to anyway. And that supports us. It gives us a bigger audience, and it helps us to build using Patreon. And that's something that we're really keen to do. as the internet moves forward. Speaking of our Patreon, as I was a few moments ago, I just wanted to welcome a few of our new followers on Patreon. I've already mentioned Andy Walker in a recent podcast. He contributed a few comments. So a big hello to Daniel Mybus. Hello to Phil. And hello to David Maidley. All of whom have joined our free Patreon and therefore are supporting us without any cost to themselves, but they get the podcast early, ad-free, and with extra material. Now, as you know, I'm a big fan of things that were lost being rediscovered. And which reminds me of that Michael Palin character in The Life of Brian, who describes the end times as, and I'm paraphrasing here, as basically people getting frustrated about things that they put down and can't find again. The TV Museum account on Twitter has recently announced a huge find. It's a missing edition of Top of the Pops from 1976, which featured David Essex, Brotherhood of Man, Randy Edelman, Pan's People Dancing to the Eagles, John Miles, Peters and Lee, Bebop Deluxe, Gallagher and Lyle, who I was just listening to, and Tina Charles. Now, they themselves have a Patreon, so you get to learn far more about it than I can possibly tell you if you join their Patreon at patreon.com/thetvmuseum. Link to that, as with anything else I discuss on the show, will be in the show notes. Now, this is something that you may know about already, but I've only just discovered it, and it's kind of interesting, and I wanted to share it with you. It is a 3 minutes and 18 seconds long clip, although it says 4 minutes in the description. I don't know if they've clipped it or whatever. This has been available for a long time. It's available on the Internet Archive, but someone's uploaded it to YouTube. And this is 4 minutes of BBC television from 1938. Now, the interesting thing about this is that it was recorded in New York, due to an atmospheric fluke, strange weather conditions, the signal was bounced within the atmosphere and was able to be picked up in New York, where someone had the presence of mind to film what was coming through on their television. It really is quite extraordinary that in 1938, freak atmospheric conditions led to signals from Britain ending up in America. When I was a teenager, we used to have a lot of trouble with freak atmospheric conditions in the summer of 1990-1991. They'd particularly occur around tea time and result in episodes of Neighbours looking like you were watching them under the sea with tides wafting over them. Mainly affected BBC TV. I never heard of anyone in other countries being able to watch British television when that happened, or of UK viewers being able to pick up television from other countries. Although there are parts of the UK that used to be able to pick up TV from the Netherlands. Okay, back in the world of books and gaming and RPGs, which seems to be a heavy feature of this week's edition, a Kickstarter for reprints of the Fighting Fantasy series was launched a few days ago. And incredibly, with 900 backers, within 5 hours of its launch, it reached 200% of its funding goal of £19,755. That's a pretty modest target for a publishing project. At the time of podcasting to you now, 3,367 backers have pledged £146,925 in dollars. That's $185,929 of a $25,000 goal. I think that really underpins the affection that people have for Ian Livingstone and Steve Jackson's solo gaming adventure books. I have a few of them knocking around. I think they're actually in my son's bedroom, as he was quite interested in solo RPG adventures. The Fighting Fantasy range kicked off in 1982 by Games Workshop co-founders Livingstone and Jackson. And it's a multi-million selling book series and is now returning to print in the United States. So it's incredible to see not just that these books are still popular, although, you know, if anyone who's played them, it's not that incredible. But also that they're up for a reprint. Interestingly, they're being reprinted by Steve Jackson Games. Steve Jackson is no relation to Steve Jackson of the Fighting Fantasy series. One of those strange little coincidences in the world. Now, this Kickstarter is still in operation at the time of recording. If you're interested in backing that, there's various reward options that you can take up. You can just pledge a dollar. You can pledge for the Warlock of Firetop Mountain for $15. You can go for the full set for $60, £48. And yeah, so these are good options. And you can expect a few of the stretch goals to have been activated as well. A free adventure sheet PDF, Magician's Adventure Sheet PDF. And they provide information on the project timeline and shipping. So yeah, check out the Kickstarter page for that project, because I think it's pretty exciting. And if you missed out on them the first time around, this is an opportunity to get into Fighting Fantasy. And if you're a fan, or you've lost your old copies, or they're too well thumbed, or you just want a nice set, again, this is a 5-book set that features The Forest of Doom, The Citadel of Chaos, City of Thieves, Death Trap Dungeon, and, as I say, The Warlock of Firetop Mountain, the book that started it all. Now, that isn't the only Kickstarter that I'm interested in sharing with you this time. There's a new edition of Settlers of Catan. This is the Catan Masterpiece series, which similarly did really well on its initial launch on Kickstarter. There's 22 days to go as I record this, and £241,244, which is $305,000, has been pledged of a very modest £39,511 goal, $50,000, 1,188 backers. The Catan Masterpiece series was funded in 1 hour. And if you're a fan of the Catan games, then this is something that you should check out. This is the Catan Masterpiece series, which is provided to upgrade the original game. And this comes with more tangible, solid pieces. You have various options, Explorer, Architect, Noble, and Woodcutter tiers, all different levels of quality and materials for you to bring a game of Settlers of Catan more to life, as it were. So you have options of plastic, metal, wood, resin, gemstone robbers, metal robbers, hexes from gemstone, sparkle, resin, painted wood, etc., etc. All these pieces are improvements over the original card and plastic of the original games. As I say, this is running for another 22 days at the time of recording, so there's plenty of time to get involved with this one, which closes on March the 21st. Okay, I'm going to have to bring things down a little bit now. Way back in 2005, Doctor Who returned to television and brought with it something that we'd never seen. Well, with very occasional glimpses of good quality special effects. And while there was some model work and physical props involved with this, much of it was courtesy of the mill. Now, you may or may not know that the company's gone into administration, and it's a organization that's had an immense collection of remarkable credits over the years, before and since Doctor Who. And I don't know if it is the case that the mill has been affected by the rise of, let's say, generative AI special effects, but the timing seems to be quite close, doesn't it? So, yeah, it's a team of people who've obviously changed a lot over the years, but they've been involved with creating visual effects on a whole range of things. Not just Doctor Who that the mill has been involved with. He's worked on various Harry Potter movies, Lara Croft Tomb Raider, Black Hawk Down, the Bumblebee movie and Detective Pikachu, other television involved, naturally Torchwood, Sarah Jane Adventures, and the recent Severance, as well as all the way back to Band of Brothers. Music videos such as Wide Open by the Chemical Brothers, acts that I'm not particularly familiar with, such as Dua Lipa's Hallucinate and Megan Thee Stallion's Plan B, whatever that is. Adverts for PlayStation, John Lewis, Verizon, Paramount Plus. You know, they've received mega number of awards and nominations over the years. Of course, they worked on Merlin for the BBC as well. And, you know, things such as The Fires of Pompeii on Doctor Who, and The Next Doctor, and A Christmas Carol, and just general Doctor Who work as well, which I think they're probably going to be more largely known for. They just worked on Dredd as well, the Judge Dredd movie with Carl Urban. So, yeah, that's sad to hear that the mill is in dire straits. Now, as I say, it has been bankrupt for some time. Now, as I say, it has been under bankruptcy proceedings for a while, although more recently it has transpired that Technical or Creative Studios, the parent company of the mill, is on the verge of closure. So it seems that whatever issues have contributed to the mill shutting down, that it's a little bit more widely felt. Sad news aside, we can move into slightly more positive areas. So first of all, we have Escapades, which is a book about the Avengers. And when I say the Avengers, I don't mean Iron Man and Thor and Hulk and those guys. I mean Emma Peel and Mr. Steed. Escapades, an exploration of Avengers curiosities, delves deep, it says, into a selection of offbeat projects from Avengerland and beyond, analysing stage, radio and comic book adaptations of the series, independent productions that attempted to transplant the Avengers magic to locations such as Germany, Mexico, Spain and the USA, and unmade scripts starring John Steed and partners familiar and new, intriguing projects that are a testament to the Avengers' popular appeal and endurance as a creative property. Written by Avengers enthusiast J.Z. Ferguson and Alan Hayes, with a foreword by Roy Bettridge, Escapade shines new light upon 11 fascinating and hitherto mysterious curiosities. Its in-depth chapters answer the burning questions about these Avengers scripts, spin-offs, revivals, homages that you've always wanted to ask. Just a quick rundown of things that you might find. Mini Killers, a Diana Rigg 8mm film serial. What? The radio series, 72 to 74. The stage play, 1971. The first Avengers movie. Yeah. Stitch that, Captain America. This is an unmade 1980s revival film. And there's a few other features in there as well. And there's cover art work by Robert Hammond. Now, this book can be purchased from coitmedia.co.uk. Link in the show notes, as ever. And costs $11.99 if you get your order in this pre-order stage. It'll go up to $12.99 by the look of it later on. That is something that's really worth checking out, I think. I'm quite excited about that. Okay, brief music now. Last time I spoke to you solo, I related to you the news that a US producer had found early session tapes from David Bowie's Young American Sessions. Apparently, this sort of thing happens quite regularly, because I've we've just been given the news that a lost demo tape of Talking Heads' Psycho Killer has appeared at the Rhode Island School of Design when they acquired a collection of materials from a New York artist some time ago. They didn't realize that they were buying a piece of music history, as it were. So I'll include that link into the show notes as well, because that's really interesting. So I'm going to finish with a word on the Film is Fabulous initiative. They've updated their Facebook page and their website with a report of progress so far this year. If I've mentioned this before, this is a program that is working to collect and record and restore collections to digital formats. It's a massive undertaking. I'm going to read this for you just to give you an idea of what is at stake and why they need funding as well. Since returning on the 13th of January, the team has been engaged in a multitude of projects. In most instances, these have related to private collections and the preservation of the films therein. However, the extent to which other audio and video formats plus film memorabilia forms important parts of these collections has resulted in time and energy being invested in these areas. It is also important to note that not every collection, via a collector or estate, with which Film is Fabulous interacts can be part of the initiative. In many cases, the Film is Fabulous team act as an intermediary to facilitate the donation of material to a specialist auction house, archive or museum. This is especially relevant to the nitrate film prints we discover, and there's lots of nitrate. During the pilot scheme, we attempted to limit the number and type of films removed from a collection in order to facilitate a more controlled process. 16mm and 35mm prints were the most desirable for a variety of reasons, but the reality of dealing with estates and the collections they've inherited meant that films became vulnerable if properties were not cleared by a certain date. The vulnerability of the films became the overriding factor, and our limited storage became an issue. The larger collections, which contained more than 5,000 cans of film and many rare items, could not be considered. One collection of more than 10,000 films would have taken us 2 years to catalogue with the resources at our disposal. The resources includes funds to pay for the liability insurance required by the team to handle the privately owned films. Film is Fabulous has clearly defined aims, the first of which is to support private film collectors and the UK's film collecting community by providing advice, guidance and practical assistance. There are genuine issues that need to be addressed if vulnerable private collections are to be preserved. Further details on their aims can be found on a direct link, but I can just quickly go through them. They are to promote the cataloguing of private film collections with the requisite permissions and to fulfil the wishes of collectors and their estates, to identify and research missing, rare and culturally important films and to collaborate with the relevant agencies for their preservation, to champion the need for recovered films to be screened widely with affordable licensing agreements through the copyright holders, and to advance and to encourage public interest education and training in film as a medium, especially its role within British culture, which is a thing. Clearly, Film is Fabulous is a very small initiative that is being asked to handle a lot more than it can manage. I think they're doing a great job with the resources that they have, so kudos to them. But I do think if there is an opportunity for additional funding to come their way and for them to expand the project in order to accommodate these vast collections of film, I think that has to be something that the people who decide what gets funding should be looking at. Well, that brings us to the end of this week's podcast. I will be back next week. I'll be back with Mr. McLean, and Philip Bates of the Doctor Who Companion .com is also due to join me in order to discuss his most recent publication. Until next time, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/Costerberis. I'll speak to you again next week. Until then, it's goodbye.